the state of jobs in our union.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Tuesday, February 12th. It is the birthday of Abraham Lincoln, and tonight we're going to hear from another president, President Obama, when he delivers his State of the Union address. And I'm guessing we're going to hear something about jobs, how many have been created, and how the president plans to add more of them. But if you look back at the president's first term, where have the jobs actually come from? Here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
Over the course of the last 4 years, the U.S. lost 4 million jobs and then created more than 5 million. Net gain, 1.2 million. The education and healthcare fields created a lot of those jobs. Why? Well, we're getting older and trying to get wiser, but it's also hard to replace workers with technology in those fields, says economist Ronnie Chatterjee at Duke University.
Education and healthcare are two sectors where location really matters. The bedside manner of a physician, for example, or a teacher being in the same classroom as a student.
Of course, the housing market plummeted, as did jobs related to it. But that's turning up. Kenneth Goldstein at the Conference Board of Business Research Group sees in the next 4 years,
the return to job growth in manufacturing, in construction, perhaps also in the public sector.
Of course, the jobless rate remains stubbornly high at 7.9%. You could blame the president or credit him for jobs created, or neither. Goldstein says in large part, market demand creates jobs. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Today marks 4 years to the day since the last fatal crash of a commercial airliner in the U.S. In addition, the New York Times points out that last year was the safest for air travel around the world since 1945. Keith Mackey is an aviation consultant, and he's with us now from Ocala, Florida. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how is it possible that it's been 4 years since a fatal commercial airliner crash in the U.S.?
Well, our ability to track airplanes, there's a new system coming on board that the FAA will have that will use things other than radar to track and separate airplanes. We have much better radar for detecting bad weather. We have more capability to land with less visibility than we previously did. The newer airplanes coming online have more complex and capable technology. Now, the 787 is an example of that. Now, they've discovered a potential problem
right. And
grounded the airplane while they positively prevent the issue from happening again. This is an example of how they correct mistakes before they can lead to an accident.
As an aviation consultant, is there any area of airline safety that you think is not up to par, that you think they need to get better at?
Well, one of the things that we learned from our last accident, which was the Colgan crash in Buffalo about 4 years ago, is some of the airlines were hiring very inexperienced pilots, and the FAA is taking steps now to change that and require a higher level of experience for entry-level people who will be flying for the airlines. And this is a work-in-progress thing, and as it takes place, it will improve safety even more.
Keith Mackey, aviation consultant in Ocala, Florida. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
You're welcome.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
One of the best ways to get lucky in real estate these days is to move into a neighborhood that's not quite there yet and hope it gentrifies so your property value goes up. But it doesn't always work out, which brings us to the Englewood neighborhood of Chicago. From the Marketplace Wealth and Poverty Desk, Sylvester Monroe reports.
You guys want some tea or something?
The inside of Bob Bennett's 5-bedroom home in Englewood is something to behold. Beautiful paintings, leather couches, hardwood floors, granite countertops. But the view from the back window?
This house right here, board up to the right, board up to the left. So that's three we're looking at just right out here outside the window.
Abandoned homes and empty lots line the streets around Bennett's house. When he bought the two-story in 2000, he was betting that Englewood was about to become more affluent. He'd seen it happen in other historically black neighborhoods on the south side.
I was looking for a neighborhood that I thought was going to be the next Bronzeville. And obviously, I was wrong about my expectations for the neighborhood.
Bennett bet wrong on gentrification. Instead of moving up, Inglewood's been spiraling down. Home prices are off over 50% from 5 years ago. 40% of residents are unemployed. The neighborhood has one of the highest murder rates in the city.
If I had it to do all over again, no. To be honest with you, no, I would not have moved here.
Critics of gentrification say people like Bob Bennett push poor residents out. But city officials like Alderman Willie Cochran say middle-class pioneers like Bennett are just what Inglewood needs.
The most important thing about that character in the community is that they have stabilized the community to the point where I can advocate for reinvestment, for redevelopment.
Cochran says people who make good money attract new business and job opportunities. But homeowner Bob Bennett says the first step to economic prosperity is not attracting more middle-class families. It's stopping the violence in Inglewood.
It destroys any kind of economic growth that you would hope for. It destroys your property values. It can totally destroy a community.
Get rid of the violence, he says, and a more prosperous neighborhood will follow. In Chicago, I'm Sylvester Monroe for Marketplace.
And finally, starting tomorrow, American Express is going to allow cardholders to buy things simply by tweeting with a particular hashtag. You can read about it at marketplace.org. But I just want to focus on that word, hashtag. Now, hash is the British way of saying pound, but we don't use it over here. So my question is, why don't we call it a pound tag? If you agree, tweet me at Jeremy Hobson, hashtag pound tag. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.